All right. Well, I sometimes listen to None Taken, but very seldom.
In a few minutes, I'll be ready to go here.
Look at that hat. That's a cool hat.
You like that?
I
That's
do.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's my favorite hat.
Yeah. Lucky hat. Yeah.
It's my lucky hat.
Yeah.
It has a star on it. It's from the when the Giants hosted the All-Star game.
Oh, I thought it was in support of the People's Republic of China.
I mean, sure. Could also be that.
From when Gavin Newsom rolled out the red carpet for Dictator C.
Okay.
Of course you do, Alan. Coastal elitist. I got some new sounds of you.
Oh. Okay.
This one's one of my favorites. You don't say anything bad in this one. This is you realizing that I'm about to make you say something you don't want. This is as you realized it. Ready?
Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
You're like, oh, it means black. Oh. No.
Oh.
Oh.
And then.
Yes, I remember that moment.
And then, do you remember this one?
Black. Nager. I do remember.
That one wasn't good enough, so I got you a little bit tighter.
Nager. Jeez.
Chink.
Chink Uger.
Oh, man.
Chink Young Uger?
Yeah. Sure, caucuses we'll are really weird. A caucus is nice. Want to see my dick? Those are fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I have a question to start things. To start things off, I just some small talk for you.
Yeah.
Something funny happened when I got home.
Do tell. Well, today?
And I think this would play really well with our show and some of the sound clips that we have. So I'm just going to go ahead and get my cursor ready. So do you remember the names of our new dogs that we're fostering?
Oh, shit. No.
Dick.
It's
Jolene.
Jolene.
And the other one's named after my close personal friend.
Oh, Jack White.
Yes, his name is Jack. We don't call him Jack White every time. That'd be kind of weird at a dog park.
That would be kind of weird. would be strangely.
Yeah. So we, when I come home, they all go crazy and they're jumping on top of each other and everything like that. So I'm like, okay, well, let's go outside and go to the bathroom. But there's a little bit of mud in the backyard. So whenever they come back in, we always want to wipe their feet off, especially before they jump on the bed, which is the doors through there. So I was wiping their feet down. And Natasha was aware of what was going on and she's trying to get all the dogs to settle. And Jack jumps up on the bed and now she's standing in the other room, like across the hallway. Mm-hmm. She's like, Jack, off, come.
Continue to create calm.
That's just calm. Jesus said.
Well, Natasha said.
Calm.
That took you a second. She didn't get it either. It was like, Natasha, don't.
I thought you were going to hit the button immediately after.
No. I have a regular question and then I have a sound.
Oh,
So, there's like a German word for everything that like you wouldn't think of, like some like emotions
more
and
German
feelings.
Words.
Yeah. More German words. Is that what you said?
I'm scared.
This is because of the last time we had you talk about the black means,
Schwartz.
Yeah. That Alan said this.
Nager.
Oh, I didn't make him. I kind of made him.
You kind of made
Schwarzenegger. It's the end of his last name. That's all he was saying.
Yeah, it's all
I mean, he did say this, though.
Black Nager.
Yeah. So much trepidation. It's safe. It's fine. You're not saying any bad words.
No, totally.
So
nobody's gonna take that out of context.
No,
ever.
Nobody at all. Yeah, nobody's gonna isolate it, put it on a soundboard, play it a bunch of times. this is so there's a German word for like everything, like Schadenfreude. Sure. You're like, oh yeah, I guess I didn't know that that was like a feeling, but that's definitely a feeling. I guess it's cool that you guys have a word for that, right? I feel like there should be a German word for the anxiety I feel when. Like you probably felt this your whole life. And I thought at some point I wouldn't feel like I'm a teenage delinquent anymore. But when you take a water cup and go to fill, I do it with my water bottle all the time at work. The anxiety you feel when there's a Taco Bell employee, you think they're watching you when you go to fill up your water and they think you're filling it with Mountain Dew. Like that's a universal.
You're stealing fountain drinks.
Yeah, everybody's familiar with the way it feels to worry about that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
There should be a word for that.
What do you think the word would be?
Fountainophobia.
No, that's not German enough.
No. What do you got?
Fanta. Okay. That was better. You know the history of Fanta, right?
I don't think I do.
Oh, dude, okay. I might screw this up, but so Coca-Cola was a global entity by the time World War II came around, and they, like, seeing what was happening in Germany, they took proactive measures to separate that brand from the rest of global Coca-Cola, and they put it in the hands of somebody who was local who could run it under the new name and try to, like, ride out, you know.
Yeah.
And during that
the
name,
early 1940s.
And that's when they created Fanta. There's more to that that I can't quite remember all the details to, but yeah.
I just Googled it. It says it originated in Germany as the Coca-Cola alternative in 1940 due to the American trade embargo of Nazi Germany, which affected the availability of Coca-Cola ingredients. It soon dominated the German market with 3 million cases sold in 1940.
I'm pretty sure that while that's totally true, a subtlety to that I'm almost certain about is that, like, a lot of that was handled internally with Coca-Cola, but then it probably became nationalized or something.
I'm sure it did.
We noticed you, Coca-Cola. Like, we didn't miss that, you know. You leave it on the Germans to catch the details. As I say, the devil's in the details. All right, I got this clip that's German-related. We could use this clip in the show.
Sounds fun. Let's hear it.
As a German, I hate when my Jewish friends ask me, what's going on with the Nazis? What the fuck? That is such a weird question. And then all my Nazi friends ask,
don't let me in his damn house.
Should we record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
All right, you ready?
Pop.
I am ready.
We have Kanye on next week.
Are you recording?
Yes. All right, well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
No. All the ways I just ain't got the means. Boom.
Welcome to the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken. I forgot to take a breath before I got to the none taken part. I was so proud of myself. I handled it pretty well. Yeah. Where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines from all over the internet, brings them out here, and we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts today, and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. Guys, I hate it when I fuck that up. I'm really sorry for spiking your headphones. I'll do better next week, promise.
Sounded good in my headphones.
Did? Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got all these notes that I never really look at, but I have the notes up on the big screen now, so I can kind of see it all. I said this at one point. We're a healthy amount of cynicism for a healthy political mind. How's that?
I remember that.
Yeah?
It's good. It's good.
Hey, I gotta find this really quick. We might miss it. It is Friday, and we have a Friday sound.
It is Friday.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Yeah, sir. Head on over to fungiblenuntakens.com. to purchase things like our fashionable hoodie with our logo on it. We will have new stickers there. We noticed that this logo doesn't have the word podcast in it. There's a reason for that. We don't always think of ourselves as just a podcast. So, when we're, like, really full of ourselves, we like to think of ourselves as a collection of...
We're a brand.
We do memes. Sure. I mean, I think that, like, us and the people that listen to our show, we think of ourselves as sort of, like, independents and... a bit of a collection of last week, creepy weirdos. I said that. A bunch of creepy weirdos. Who's the creepy
weirdo?
You
identify as a creepy weirdo.
I do.
So there's no offense.
None taken. See?
None taken.
Yes. We managed to work the brand into it.
Love that.
Isn't that something? So that's at Fungible None Takens. You can get this shirt, which is what I was saying originally. I was looking for this button.
Who's the creepy weirdo, Sandy?
Sandy was Sandy Cortez. Did you know Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, like, one of her first, like, big things before she was elected, she was at that, like, Standing Rock Sioux.
Yeah.
I learned that in that book Pipeline. You told me to read, that the new map.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a good book.
It's very good.
Gas pipelines and...
It goes pretty deep. I understand why you kind of quit it for a bit.
Yeah, but it tells pretty well. Once you get in the middle of it, it rolls good. Other things that you can do, we would love it if you watched this television show on the YouTubes through our Patreon. And to get to our Patreon, you go to trumpgags.com. He took the gag out and talked back to the judge today.
He did.
Wonder what happened in private after that, huh? So trumpgags.com to join the Patreon. $3 gets you in. I think like $19 is like, I'll wash your car once a year.
Yeah, you're just a super cool person.
You know, I want to get our Discord fired up. I started going on KitPad's Discord, and I was like, this is actually really fun. I get it now.
Yeah, you said
it's really not confusing.
From there today. Yeah.
It's not confusing at all.
No. Huh. I'm glad you
it scared me.
You picked it up.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of Discord anymore.
Lastly, head on over to Slickits Digital, slickitsdigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs. If you want help with SEO and marketing, getting your name showed up in all the places, head on over to Slickits Digital. Support Ryan Ricketts, Slickits, slickitsdigital.com.
Slickitsdigital.com.
Alan.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. Another weekend is here. Have a can of fucking beer.
I'm supposed to drink wine. I wanted to drink wine on this episode.
Oh, yeah. You did say that.
Some wine.
Hey, our buddy Drew is...
OBD. Is he in the room?
OBD. He's like right across the room from me. Yeah.
Is she in the room?
He's recording his own special across
the hall. Special across the hall? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember in Wedding Crashers? Where he's like, Mom, Meatloaf. No, wait. Oh, no. Call me Kitty Cat. And he's talking about that the next morning. Hell yeah. He's like, you old motorboat and son of a bitch. And he's like, Is she in the house? I don't know why that line sticks out. Is she in the house?
Some of those lines are real earworms.
They are.
I would say. Yeah. So we've been having a good time, man. We went out last night. We hung out with Tim for a while.
Mr. Tim.
Good times. And nice. Then recovered this morning. Went out again. And we'll be going out again after the show
tonight. Hell yeah. Great job, man. You deserve it. Do you feel like you're rested and caught up and now you're just kind of having fun?
I feel so much better. So much better. Yeah, man. My buddy Donnie called me this afternoon too. And I was like, dude, it's been a year.
Yeah.
It was a fucking year from hell. But yeah, I'm pretty much feeling good now. Feeling good.
You know a Donnie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
This is my old roommate in Martinez.
Oh, okay. Wait,
I think I've talked to him.
Yeah,
about
I think
him on
so too.
Before.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we get into some headlines?
Yes. I'm just gonna, travel along this road with you. You tell me what to say, but I think you go first, right?
Yeah. All right. A New York judge blocked former President Trump from making his own closing argument in his civil fraud case.
But then he said, "You know what? That's too much. Go ahead."
After his lawyers objected to a requirement that he stick to topics relevant to the case. This story is pretty funny just because of the back and forth between the judge and his lawyers. The judge is like, I don't want him doing a campaign speech as a closing argument. So it has to be relevant to the case. And the lawyers are like, well, what does relevant to the case mean? That's too subjective. How's he supposed to know? And then the judge is like,
how's he supposed to know? The man was the president of the United States. You trust his and you can't trust his judgment.
Right.
Like,
and the judge was like, if he like crosses a line, I'm going to immediately have him taken from the courtroom and charge him at least $50,000 as a fine.
And then he'll say this to him.
No, you cannot do that, Donald.
Donald. So, yeah, it was pretty entertaining, the back and forth. I guess they have figured it out.
You saw what he said. He's like, this is a fraud against me. And he like starts going off on stuff. And the judge goes to his lawyer. He's like, will you get control of your client? Like,
yeah, that judge is pretty entertaining. I always want to call him Erdogan, but it's like Engeron.
Engeron. Yeah.
Yeah. Not the president of Turkey.
Yeah.
But yeah, so pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
That's all I got about.
Okay.
That.
Yeah. I don't have much to add to that. They'll make a judgment in the next couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Two House panels advanced a resolution to hold Hunty Bidey in contempt of Congress for failing to comply with a subpoena. This was to a full House vote, right? What was that?
Yeah. So this is regards, they had subpoenaed him to testify.
Everybody
in
from full House had to vote?
Yeah. John Stamos.
Got it.
Everybody.
Uncle Jesse.
So they had subpoenaed him to testify in private. He said no. I'll do it in public, but I don't want to do it in private. I don't want you to twist my words. So now they're trying to hold him in contempt. The funniest line.
Yeah, he doesn't like it when you twist his words. You like it. He likes it when you twist his nuts because he's into that. It's in the videos, Alan.
He does appear to be into that. Yeah. The funniest quote from this exchange at Congress was Nancy Mace.
I'm Nancy Mace.
To Biden directly, you are the epitome of white privilege.
Isn't that
coming
hilarious?
To the oversight committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be disposed. What are you afraid of? You have no balls to come up here.
And then then MTG was like, I'm a woman speaking. Are women not allowed to speak? Right. And it's just wild to see the GOP use that like language of left wing political identity. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Identity politics.
So, yeah, it was pretty entertaining again. Entertaining politics. We'll see what they didn't vote on it, did they?
I don't think so. No, but like on the spot, a Democrat was like, look, if you want to hear from him, he's in the room. You're having a hearing. Like, let's have a vote right now about whether you want Hunter to be deposed. And they're like, no. We would rather make a scene. And then everything about the scene actually was what got shared online. I had to watch the whole thing.
Became the story.
I had to watch the whole thing to hear the Democrat suggest we can actually have the hearing right now with him. He's present. Right. And they like there wasn't even a response to that. They were like, no, I'm over here saying this stuff. Like,
well, he said that when he came out into that press conference.
Yeah, I know that. Week. But I'm just saying he's literally in the room. Instead of mocking him, you could have and calling white privilege. You can be like, yeah, actually, fine. You're here. Let's ask questions. Like, no, obviously, that's not what your prerogative is, which, you know, I'm like, you know what? The longer this goes on, the more I like defending Hunter Biden.
I mean, you do find some of his qualities appealing, the whole taxes and the,
the
love
ball,
of
the ball squeezing.
Yeah. Free drug policy, sex workers, all that good stuff.
Alan, what the fuck are you doing? I'm going to play shit like this then.
I do have a soft spot for my beeholes. What about caucuses? The caucus is nice. It's nice.
That's what he's
nice. Yeah. I play with my tonsils all the time. Tournament style. Who wins? I think this is a toss-up.
I don't care.
Me either.
Okay, we'll skip.
All right, let's move on.
All right.
The White House ordered a review of cabinet protocols after Defense Secretary Austin delayed disclosure of hospitalization for prostate cancer. We talked about this on the last show, where they only found out recently that this had happened, and so now they're like, wait a minute, maybe we should have a policy about this. So somebody has to disclose this if they're in the cabinet, which, that makes sense. If somebody's going to be incapacitated, that's a member of the cabinet, that's a problem.
Yeah, but I think there already was. They were saying for it to go that long was like a breach of protocol.
Did they say that? I didn't see that
part. That's what I had heard. That was why everybody was mad. I mean, everybody
was mad because he didn't disclose it.
But, you know what? I don't think this needs to be an unwritten rule. You can subjectively be in trouble. The punishment could be subjective when shit pops up like this. You don't have to be like, you know what? We're not going to do anything because we didn't write it down beforehand. It's like, nah, dog. Like, you don't get to keep it a secret from your boss that you like are going through major surgery.
Right. I mean, the reason we have deputies and the reason we have the vice president, et cetera,
she was down in the fucking Virgin Islands or something. No,
she had
Biden
no idea. She was on
Virgin
vacation.
Islands. Yeah, she was on vacation. Yeah. Biden was getting his sunburn. Remember, everybody on the right got mad he got a sunburn. Did you see that?
I remember. Yes.
Yeah. There was like, this is worse thing than the tan suit. Biden got a sunburn. But yeah, I mean, that. So the lady, the undersecretary or whatever it's called, vice admiral, definitely not that.
The deputy.
Deputy secretary of war. She was like running the Pentagon from her laptop for like 4 days.
Which isn't what you want. It's clearly not ideal at all.
I mean, it's bad for like, I mean, God forbid our adversaries found out about that, right?
Right. Okay. Iran decided to pop off over there, something like that.
You got the Houthis in the other news. I can't wait. Okay.
Get the next one.
A federal appeals court heard arguments over former President Trump. We just talked about Trump. Is it a different trial?
This is
federal president Trump's claim. Oh, okay. Federal appeals court. Oh yeah. This happened on Tuesday. So this was, the appeals court heard arguments over President Trump's claim of immunity from charges that he conspired to overturn the 2020 election. We talked about it briefly on the show.
We talked about it briefly.
We didn't have any sounds. That's the sound show. So you didn't hear a lot of sounds about it.
So unclear what the court is going to decide, although it seems like they're leaning towards ruling against Trump in that case. I think
it's a three judge panel, right? One appointed by George H.W. Bush, the other two by Obama,
by Biden,
maybe. Okay.
Biden or Obama. Yeah.
But I mean, depending on who you listen to, people are saying that, the one appointed by George W. Bush was, and in some ways, the least persuaded.
He was the most skeptical, of the argument.
Yeah. So when you got the Republican not buying it, you're in a lot of trouble as the Republican with, you know.
That would certainly seem to be the case. Yeah. So I think there's almost zero chance that they side with Trump in that case.
But what'll that mean? Like, and also, isn't there like a jurisdictional question that I didn't quite understand?
Well, so it just means he can't claim immunity in any of these federal trials. I mean, he could still try to claim immunity, I guess, in the state case in Georgia. But, I mean, we talked about this before. Like, Nixon was pardoned by Ford. Obviously, if he had immunity, there was no reason for that to happen.
Right.
So, I mean, post-presidency, you don't have
immunity. That wasn't like an easy thing for Nixon to settle on.
No.
It was like, so like you're telling me he put all that thought to it with all the lawyering that the White House counsel has before a president makes a decision?
Especially in that case.
For nothing? Like, of course not nothing. Like,
yeah. So I don't think there's any way that sort of jurisprudence gets turned over.
Okay.
It's just,
but
and the court. Yeah.
No. But what'll that mean? Like, what will the, not what'll that mean? Like, what, aren't there like a bunch of different ways that they can say that he's not immune?
There are, and there's concerns that that might be weaponized in the future. If a president can be held accountable for something that he did that the other party didn't like, who is now in power in the following administration. So there's concerns.
The questioning they had during the trial or the hearing was like, could the president direct SEAL Team 6 to kill his political rivals? And that was after they had like led the former president's lawyers into saying like, yeah, he's immune of committing acts of violence. Sure. And they're like, okay. And is he immune from like, you know, directing assassinations of another leader? Is like, yes. What about a political rival? And he said, like, the best I can give you is a qualified yes. And a lot of people were like that, that's bad when you can't just say no, of course not, or just say yes and somehow like defend the argument, right? And
yeah,
and a lot of people's interpretation of what that was about was, remember, Trump was in the room. So right, the lawyer paid by the guy that had to find a way to not
wiggle
out of that question.
The absurdity of the ground he was trying to stand on is just,
there was a lot of sass and pushback by the judges too. And same thing, people were saying that the judges seemed to be more animated than usual at this level of a hearing. And a lot of people thought it was in response to Trump trying to intimidate them by being in the.
Yeah, they're typically pretty reserved at that level of the court. So for that sort of
appeals
to happen,
you know, like it's not. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I think that's the bigger story here.
Okay, all right, that wins. I'll write it down.
The Supreme Court agreed to hear an appeal of Colorado's ruling that deemed former President Trump ineligible to appear on the state's 2024 primary ballot. So we talked about this, you know, incessantly, sort of. It's a big deal. We pretty much thought this would happen. The court would agree to hear this. There's almost no way that they could avoid this subject. Oral arguments are set to begin February 8th, which, as we've talked about, is already kind of late for anything to be impacted in the actual primary ballot. So, I mean, we'll keep watch on this, but it's an ongoing subject.
Yeah, they're going to, we you know, whether it's conscious or intentional or not, it's going to be, they're going to give him no on immunity and yes on being on the ballot.
I think that's probably the split, yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
Whatever, man. It's just fucking stupid. Which is funny because he tried to say, since I didn't get convicted by the Senate, I'm not like he used that double jeopardy argument in the immunity case.
Right.
But
he said that also, the only way that would apply is if he had been convicted in the Senate. But he had been convicted in Colorado, obviously.
Right.
They'd slide it against him.
But so, there, yeah. But like, I just think it's funny that him needing to be convicted, like if he had been convicted in the Senate, does that mean like, oh, well, then of course I'm not immune? Like, it's just, it's almost counter to. He would never say that, right? He'd have a different argument for why he would be allowed to run. He would say that's not a court. He'd say that's not a court of law.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He would absolutely say that. All right, you got the next one.
UN. The UN's International Court of Pancakes started hearings on accusations today by
ICOP.
ICOP, yes.
All right, I like it.
All right, ICOP.
Will Smith should star in it, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I got dumb. With the cast of that Bright movie when they're cops, remember?
Right.
Yeah. The UN's International Court of Justice started hearings on accusations brought by South Africa that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Israel vehemently, why? That's an unnecessary adverb.
It is a bit much.
Israel vehemently rejects the allegations. Well, it's good to know they don't just reject it, right? Like if they would just said Israel rejects the allegations, you'd be like, well, that's not very strong. Where is it on the vehemently?
Was it south of adamantly or north of, is that exactly?
Yes, yeah. Not quite like incredulous. That's like a different attitude. They didn't bring that. It was vehement. They were mad.
Yes, they're mad.
They're very aggressive. Anyway, this isn't going to go anywhere because proving it would have to they would have to prove intent. And just the way that like the language of how this is defined, they're not going to meet the criteria. Because Israel will be able to say you are allowed, it does have an exemption for self-defense. So Israel will say that they're defending themselves and they're going to say that their actions were to root out the tunnels and gave, you know, a shitty warning and they allowed for evacuations and things like that, even though they did not do that in a very considerate way. But I think by definition, they're not going to fall within the scope of it to be convicted. And as you sort of assumed, I was saying at the end of the day, you know, I can't believe they're in having this, like the U.S.
Right.
Like the U.S. isn't going to show up for a trial like this, which is wild because we got a lot of opportunities for them to do, you know, similar war crimes type shit with us. But we just were like, yeah, we're not a part of that.
We don't recognize
I'm surprised that Israel played ball. I think it's awesome. Not awesome. Hilarious that South Africa is like, you know, we've got the moral high ground here.
Funny, it's a BRICS country.
Huh? I was just going to say that they're in BRICS. This is just Russia and China kind of bullying them, right? That's the way I assume, but
I would assume as well. I mean, part of their vehement response was to say, you're calling this a genocide. What happened on October 7th was a genocide. And you're going to accuse us of all people of that. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Obviously, the U.S. would veto it if anything were to happen. And that court doesn't really have any teeth anyways.
Unfortunately.
I mean, it's nice that they have the conversation. I think it's important that we do that. But as far as any consequences of it, no.
I can see some consequences of it. If they get convicted, Mr. No Red Lines and Unwavering Support isn't going to look too good. That's us.
Oh, me a stain on Brandon?
Not a stain. Like, we're accomplices. If they are convicted of that, I don't know how accomplices work.
We already are accomplices.
No, I know. I know. We are accomplices. Yeah. So if they are convicted, then we are accomplices in a legal definition now.
Sure. Although I don't think it matters in the court of public opinion either way what that court decides. I think people that believe that that's, you know, what Israel is doing in Gaza is horrible, you know, already see that as the U.S. being an accomplice to that situation, and it's not a good look.
Well, I think that one wins, right? I think the Israel on trial one wins. Okay.
I agree. Next couple headlines are kind of, I didn't really know how to fit them into the sheet.
Okay.
We had a few headlines about the Boeing airplane accident.
It was an oopsie.
It was an oopsie. There was a loose bolt at the... Perhaps there was a missing washer. We don't exactly know.
Fucking
like that.
Door at 3 miles up. The door got
15,000 feet.
Yeah, they got sucked out.
Mm-hmm. sucked out.
Yeah, dude. Heyo.
Isolate that shit.
Oh, whoops. I don't know where it is. Fine.
There. Guess what?
15,000 feet. So the door gets sucked out the window. The exit door.
The cabin loses pressure.
Yeah, everybody's got to wear masks.
It's like 14 minutes into the flight, by the way.
Yeah. Somebody's cell phone got whipped out the window and survived the fall.
Wow.
So, of course, it survived
the fall. That's pretty incredible.
No, it was an iPhone.
Of course it was.
And the screen was open, or they didn't have a lock on it, because, like, the picture you see of it on the news is, like, some, like, name I'm not going to try to pronounce. And, like, you agreed to a $70 charge for your carry-on or something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But you know, of course it was intact because of, like, aerodynamics and stuff. That shit, like, flipped around and, like, seesawed.
Plus there's a helicopter glass
and that helicopter glass. When was the last time you dropped your phone and you were worried?
Like, never.
Yeah Every once in a while, if it lands like really flat, you're like, oh, yeah. Fuck. I don't know, man. That's been a bad one before.
Drew dropped his phone like 20 times at the bar last night. He just kept dropping his phone. I'm like, what the fuck?
And did he drive you home?
No, I drove him.
All right, all right. Hey, get out of here. How's it going? Free that fucker on the show. Hi.
You did. Oh, Dustin says hi.
Come
on. Oh,
no. All right.
Come over real quick.
Yeah, come on the show. Hey.
Just say what's up. He's like, wait, I got to prepare. Oh, you brought the shirt.
What's he here. Brought? Got that dog in me. Hey, he's got the $1.50 hot dog t-shirt with the Beppis and hot dogs.
Dude, what's up?
What's up, man? You can't hear me.
He can't hear you.
Yeah, well, you got headphones.
Here.
No, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Dude, what's going on?
I heard
what
you guys
are you drinking?
I am drinking on Luau by Terrapin Brewery, but I was also drinking on this whiskey. It's Smoke Wagon Bourbon. Nice. It's fancy. Very good. It's very, very good. If you can find a place that distributes it, I know they distribute on the West Coast.
From Army.
And you got your Nelson. Huh? Yeah.
Dude, I was looking at the one on the fucking dresser.
Well, this is an Anthony Bourdain candle.
No fucking way. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Well, you guys have some fun. Let me, I guess, get back to Alan. Keep up your drumming videos. More drumming videos, I would request.
Dude, I'm not very good, but I'm practicing.
All right.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
All right. OBD all right. Making an appearance on
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, in okay. real life. All right. He should call you just for fun.
Right.
Turn your ringer on. dude, it's wild. So like they grounded all of the 737. So this is the same Boeing jet that that had the navigation
problem with
correction.
The autopilot.
Yeah. That caused like a Ethiopian
a
jet
just, like,
and like another one to just nosedive. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just, part of it was pilot error, but it was only pilot error.
Also.
It was only pilot error because Boeing just kind of was like, yeah, you guys will figure it out. Like, you read the manual, right? Like, you guys did all those videos, right? Like, you signed off that you did something like that, right?
Pretty much. Yes.
So, like, people were reacting normally to something that the software was correcting for, and then they would overcompensate and crash the plane, basically.
Correct. Yes.
Anyway. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. There was a failure, but if they knew what was happening, they could
have been able to.
They wouldn't have overcompensated to it. Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, this is that same jet. Something that's interesting, I think there's only like 30 of them flying, so it's not the biggest. It
wasn't a massive fleet out there.
Yeah. So they grounded all of them, and they started finding loose fucking bolts.
Yes, missing washers, loose bolts.
Did you see that video, or do you remember that New York Times from like 2 or 3 years ago? Oh, it was whenever they started grounding these planes. When Boeing was... There was like whistleblowers at Boeing that were saying that the new Dreamliner where they make those, there was a quality control guy who has to go through and sign off on every fuselage that the electronics are in the right place and none of the wires are rubbing against sharp edges. And you know, like behind those panels you see inside the jet, it's a tube and it has channels for the wires to go through. And those are just machine cut sheet metal or whatever, and oftentimes they're not finished on the edges, so you have to protect the wiring or put it in some. Basically, one of the things that he would never sign things off for, the whistleblower, was the fact that the wiring is rubbing against the inside of the fuselage, and that shit fucking rattles the whole flight. Like, there's nothing but vibrations, you know?
Right.
And they fired him because he wouldn't sign off on it. They're like, you know, basically what happened with the Challenger, where who's that scientist we like so bad?
Feynman
was like, I'm not good. It wasn't Feynman. It was another guy. They was like, yeah, I'm not going to sign off on these, and they got somebody that would, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's,
and then it,
yeah. And the rest is history. So bolts are falling off the planes on the inside. Not surprised.
That's always concerning.
Remember that phrase was like, if it ain't Boeing, I ain't going. It is not that way anymore, man. All fucking Airbus or nothing. Like,
bit of a bad run recently.
Yeah, I'll even take an Embraer over a Boeing sometimes. I think the 800s or the eights, whatever the eights are, I think are good still. Mm-hmm. But these Max 9s scare me.
Would you take an Airbus over a Boeing?
I take Airbus. They're fine.
Downright un-American of you. Fuck, Dustin.
I know. Yeah, the French, Alan. The French. Where is that? That has a spot.
Oh, indeed.
Well.
Indeed.
Sure. It's on the left side of the screen. I'm just looking over there. Ah, the French. Ah, the French.
Oh, the French.
No, who cares? This is fun for the show.
Let's move on.
No, no, open this link.
Oh, which link?
Oh, wait, I found it.
Ah, the French.
So is it a real surprise that bolts aren't being attached to airplanes anymore, Alan? Do you see this headline I linked there?
Oh, let's see.
What's the headline
Batman
say?
Batman is retiring.
What?
Auctioning.
That's not what it's
Boltman.
Said.
Boltman. Fuck. Just say it again. Why did I say Batman?
I don't know. All right, do it again.
Boltman is retiring.
It's not Boltman, dummy. It's not someone's real last name.
Boltman is retiring. Boltman. Auctioning off student character. That's why I said Batman.
This is Boltman, Alan. He's the San Diego Chargers logo guy. Yeah, Boltman.
Oh,
so
that
so
makes sense now.
Boltman retires, and now planes are getting windows sucked out at 20,000 feet or whatever.
It all makes sense now.
Dude, did you Boltman see that leaves. Video where they should like the passengers recorded from inside the plane? And there was like a male flight attendant, like walking, or what is it, male stewardess, like walking down the aisle right where that window was missing. Like, it was wild. Like, I mean, it must have just been like, people are just sitting there, like, yeah, this is traumatic, but what do you expect me to do? Just, this is the real life of, you know, a plane with a door
These
open.
Things happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Once Boltman retires, Gotham goes under.
Boltman. God. It's not, you know, if you're not going to read it, I'm going to take it or stop presenting. All right. Are we good? Can we move on to the next one?
Yeah.
Congressional leaders agreed to top line spending of $1.6 trillion for fiscal year 2024. Again, this is not when they have to pay for it. They'll shut the government down when they have to pay for it. A step in preventing government shutdown later this month. Never mind. This is when they do it. I forgot.
I mean, it is related to...
No,
it,
they default at
not...
the other time. This is when
right.
we shut down.
And again, it's just kicking the can down the road. It's not a permanent solution. But
what
so
is it, a House, final solution, Alan? You're on a roll.
House Republicans and Senate Democrats have essentially agreed. And since the Republicans have a majority in the House and the Democrats have a majority in the Senate, seems like it's going to work out.
Yeah, but there's like 12 Republicans that are like, no, fuck you, including that dipshit Andy Ogles. And he's like, it's because of the border. I sent you that clip of him, right? Did you see that?
He's
ineffective. And like the volume's off on the music in the background. Like it's I would be more worried if he was more serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough House Democrats will side with the Republicans on it to get it through.
They didn't in this first vote.
I think they eventually will.
Well, isn't this what's holding up Ukraine funding?
Yes.
Okay. Maybe they should stop fucking around if that's something they claim to care about.
One would think. Yes, okay. I would agree. Right. I would agree. All right. This next headline is, I don't know. It surprised me a little bit. The Islamic State claimed responsibility for two suicide bombings in Iran on Wednesday.
We talked about this. Did we just talk about this in real life?
I think we did just talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was at the
Soleimani
birthday celebration of Soleimani's death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you would birthday celebration. I mean, it might at first sound counterintuitive that the Islamic State would be against Iran, but remember that they were fighting Iran when they were trying to create the caliphate. So they're no fans of the Iranian regime.
They're not Shia, right? That was the thing. I think one of the newer ISIS leaders, I don't know if he died yet. I think he did die. When he got appointed.
They don't last long.
Yeah, I know. But when he got appointed, a lot of like, nobody was talking about it, but I was like, hey, this guy's a Shia. Like, this is strange. Like,
that was weird.
They don't care about this guy. This is a guy we've never seen. He's probably still living like, you know, operating out of like an apartment somewhere.
Right.
Like Pakistan. Yeah, whatever. I thought that was that is pretty notable. Thank God, right? Because otherwise we would have thought it was Israel. Thank God they didn't have their name ruined.
Well, they tried to blame them.
Yeah.
At first, and then ISIS was like, no, it was us.
Over here. Hi.
Yeah. It was us.
It's me. It me. I'm the one. I'm the problem. It's me. Okay. I think airplanes. Airplanes are a bigger deal, man.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. Airplane.
All right, we got some science topics here. Researchers found an average. Oh, it's your turn. I'm sorry.
Oh no, just keep the rotation normal.
Okay. Yeah. Researchers found an average of 240,000 nanoplastic particles per liter of bottled water.
Is that a lot?
But if it seems like a lot, they have not yet determined if that's going to be harmful to human health. We know there's a shit ton of microplastics all over the place in our water sources, in the ocean, etc. The interesting thing about these, they're so small. And they actually
are they?
They're smaller than a human hair.
Oh, I just pulled a couple hairs out of my beard.
Oh, it's smaller than that.
Okay.
They're not visible, essentially. And they're saying that a lot of these particles are actually coming from the bottom.
What kind of hair? Actually. Like Nigerian hair or like wispy Norwegian beard hair?
Was it Rick Ross? Rick. No, Biggie's. Anyways, there was a song, The Curly Brown Hairs.
Oh,
yeah.
I even said Nigerian hair. You could have gone with Lil Wayne.
I know.
Okay.
What was I saying?
I don't know.
Is that a lot? So is it bad for they're you? So small. They think it might actually be coming from the plastic bottle itself, as well as the filtration process they used to filter the water. So, after they
manufacture the bottle, there's little nanny parties inside it, exactly. And they squirt the water in it, and it mixes up.
Right. And so, even if you chose not to buy bottled water and use tap water, but you want to filter it through your Brita or whatever, you're still going to get these plastic particles.
That's a charcoal filter.
Right.
Carbon
filter. Maybe not as much as this. Okay. But yeah, unclear if this is bad for your health, but it doesn't seem like it's good. The particles that are a problem in the oceans are much bigger. They're like, I want to say 10x or even larger than that. They're certainly visible. So it's not on that level, but still concerning.
Okay. They're just micro particles. These are nanoparticles. Okay. I don't know the scale. Okay.
It's like a millionth of a meter.
Oh, I know what a nano means, but I don't know what 10x less is. I don't know the metric system of these nano words.
fucking metric system.
It's Royale. It's a nano, it's a plastic Royale. That's what it is. The EU's,
with cheese.
That's right.
Yes.
The EU's climate service confirmed 2023. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hottest year on record. Hell yeah. Did it again.
Have had a drum roll.
Fuck yeah, America. We did it. America. It's something we all can come together and do as a globe. This last year, the average global temperature was nearly 1.5°C. above pre-industrial levels. The Industrial Revolution and its consequences, Alan. They've been 1.5 degrees C, to name a few things. Scientists attributed the record in part to climate change. And the rest? Furries. Didn't see that coming, did you?
Totally.
Yeah.
So if you're paying attention last year, I mean, we talked about it on the show.
Not at all.
There was a record number of days back to back where we had the highest recorded temperature globally. If you do the average, in fact, there was a 116 daily streak last year between August 15th and December 8th. So if you're paying attention to that, you're not surprised at all by this headline, but it's still pretty fucking concerning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's okay. They have a cop. And then they're going to meet about it.
Oh, COP20.
And we'll give island nations money. That's what we'll do. So it's all okay.
It's all going to be fine.
Yeah, it's all going
to
be fine.
Nothing to see here. Move along. I think that's the bigger story.
That's the bigger story?
And honestly, I think I don't even have to hear the rest of them to say that's probably the bigger
story. Shut up, Alan. We're going to have to make this fight. No, I'm not going to settle like that.
We're not done. We have some more
climate. Stuff. Hot. That's my note. Okay.
From a macro perspective, it really is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is. But I don't want to not be able to sleep. So, it's fine. I literally can't do anything about it.
It's all good. No. All good. All right. We got some econ topics.
Go ahead.
The consumer price index increased 3.4%.
That's not good.
In December, above expectations of 3.2. That doesn't seem that big of an increase, but in this sort of number, it is. On a monthly basis, the inflation index rose 0.3%. This was not expected. This is the first bad news that we've had really about the economy for, I would say, three quarters at least.
Is it transitory?
I'm not going to say that. Uh-huh. I will say that the Fed, which had announced last month that they were likely to lower rates by like 0.75% this year. Now you're hearing some comments from various Fed presidents saying, hey, we got to pay attention to this. We can't take our eye off the ball here and have inflation go back to where it was. So a little concerning. There's another headline here. The U.S. economy added 216,000 jobs in December, well above 170,000 and up from a downward revised 173,000 in November. Most of these jobs were in the hospitality sector and retail, obviously, as you would expect.
But those were places that lagged earlier as we came out of the pandemic.
Sure, sure. And that's probably, there's probably some lagging numbers there with Holiday. So you kind of have.
They lagged initially. I know that those bounced back too, but. Sorry.
Right. But so you kind of have good indication and bad indication as to where the economy is going. They're not huge numbers to look at, but I don't know. It's, I guess it's, if you want to balance the news here, I would say it's kind of meh for the economy.
Okay. So at best, mid and neutral.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So
if there is a bit of a more inflation, right? And remember, initially when we started having this inflation, people were parking their money in things that had better returns. So that you saw a lot of people investing in crypto and all that. Well, Bitcoin was approved as an ETF.
Mm-hmm.
So, is that right here?
Yeah.
The SEC approved the first U.S. spot Bitcoin ETFs, enabling the cryptocurrency to trade more broadly on traditional exchanges. So people just buy crypto more as they speculate what's going to give them a better return, you know, their bank long term.
It got up to a bit of a sputtering start where the SEC claimed that their Twitter account was compromised.
Oh, yeah. They said that we're not doing that. And they're like, somebody hacked it and said that they're going to have ETFs, but they weren't prepared to renounce it yet. So they made a statement saying they got hacked. And then like the next day made the statement that the hack released.
Right.
Just fucking do it a day early. These fucking numbers people are so dumb.
Oh, imagine a bureaucracy fucking up. That would never happen.
I bet there was, what's the concern, right? If you do it too early, then you'll have unfair market action maybe because some people were.
Well, Bitcoin did take a bump on that tweet.
I think it looked like those sharks that were eating all the cocaine took a little bump. Yeah,
exactly.
I wish there was more update on that. Like, yeah, and they're biting people.
And we got the orcas attacking
fishing boats. Orcas are doing the cocaine.
You know what? If any sea mammal is doing coke,
it's orcas.
It's definitely orcas.
Oh, fuck yeah. It's
100%. Yeah. Oh, man. Cocaine orcas.
And walruses, right? Like, just, I get to see a walrus just getting like, and then getting rowdy, right? Just like tusking people left and right.
You don't want to run
join the Patreon if you want to see what that looks like when I act out with a dolphin, what is it? Walrus? All right.
Walrus. Cuckoo-choo. Dolphin. You know, dolphins with that nose, I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to do a couple bumps, you know?
Yeah, plus you just pour it in the little. But that's the same thing with the other.
The blowhole? Yeah. Hey, it's a. Wow.
You know, if the word came to me the first place, I wouldn't have just said pour it in the, you know.
we stumbled into a pun.
We did. The SEC clarified that it's X formerly. Oh, we already said that. Oh, that was the other headline. Okay. I thought that was some headline about.
That was just like some mid-level manager like seeing and going, oh, fuck, that wasn't supposed to happen yet. That was supposed to happen tomorrow.
Like, yeah, like you scheduled a tweet, but you accidentally hit post.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah. I did the opposite of that last week. You were so tired after we recorded the show. I was like, hey, man, I'm already done editing. It'll be on your podcast player by the time you're driving into work. You can see how you sounded. And then when I woke up, I refreshed to see if it was in the feed. And I lo and behold, I got all the way to the screen where I'm supposed to hit post. And I just closed the laptop. Yeah. I figured out why the audio got weird in the middle of the last show.
Oh, what happened?
Okay, so this won't make sense, but you know me. I got the ADHD, and you can imagine this, but I'm going to struggle to describe how this made sense to me. But prior to the show, I was trying to pull the audio of the lady talking about the BCOM.
Oh, yeah.
No. I tried to pull the audio of Nikki Haley saying she... you know what? I think I got it. I tried to pull the audio of Nikki Haley saying this.
Mexican-Americans.
Oh, not that one.
That was definitely
this
not
one. This one.
I had black friends growing up.
I tried to pull the audio of her saying that, and I didn't save it. And I all I can think of is in my head, there was a time about an hour before we did that on the show where I was playing it on the recorder. And after she finished saying,
I had black friends growing up,
I hit stop on the recorder.
Oh.
Right? Okay. Now, keep in mind, while it's playing live in that moment in the show, I'm telling myself, I don't understand how I didn't record it. So now in my head, I never recorded it. So I heard her saying it, watched the video. I was like, oh, stop the recording. It was literally right after she said this.
I had black friends growing up.
By the way, she didn't get endorsed by Chris Christie when Chris Christie, Chris the Riz Risty, didn't, when Chris Christie dropped out and people expected him to back up Nikki Haley, but I think he won't.
Yeah, he was spoken pretty highly of.
Yeah, but one of two things is either happening there. One, for sure, the guy's getting a job at MSNBC. Now,
whether that happens
tonight that he starts there or, you know, in a couple of months will be determined by whether or not he chooses to run as a third party candidate. This is all just what I'm inferring by him not choosing to just back Chris, Nikki Haley.
Darling Nikki.
The other thing that I think that him not choosing to back Nikki Haley, because it's obviously he doesn't want to back Ron DeSantis, right?
He doesn't want to back DeSantis or rub my tummy. He's definitely not going to be on Team Trump. Yeah.
That's it. So the same day, Trump in his town hall last night said that he has made a decision about who his running mate's going to be. Now I hate to keep saying, you know, that I've got an idea about this, but he's either picking
Tucker
or he's picking Chris or Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley, famous of
I had black friends growing up.
Famous for
so he doesn't want
to back Nikki Haley because he knows that she's Trump's vice president candidate.
Do you think Tucker really wants that job?
No,
I don't know. No. I don't think he does.
He doesn't need it.
No,
he could be press secretary though.
I don't think he wants that job either. He has a big enough microphone if he wants to use it. Yeah. Like,
he probably wouldn't get free supplies of those Zen patches too, like he does now. He's got a nicotine problem.
Nicotine frees your mind.
That guy loves
it. Frees your mind, dude.
It does.
Yeah.
It's wild.
The rest will follow.
It's weird. Is that an In Vogue reference, Alan?
Yes, it is.
Free your mind.
That's what you come here for, right?
Yes. Yeah. That might not be it. I'll look it up while you do your next headline. All right. Did you see that video? This said that the SEC clarified its X account. You know, when I saw that. Did you see the video that Elon posted of the new X? There's like a video of like a digital like avatar panther running through the jungle, and then it like jumps out at the screen and like it freezes, and there's an X, and it's the X logo. And it either looks like there's two memes that really sum it up. It either looks like, one is more niche than the other. I'll say the mainstream one. It either looks like bowling screens when you get a strike. How it does like an animation is the cat running through the jungle, then an X.
Right.
It also looks like the intro video for like the 1990s Carolina Panthers.
Walkout?
Yeah, yeah. Like it's one of the two.
So it wasn't very good quality. I didn't see the video.
Bad. It's so bad. Yeah. And he posted it like, I'm badass.
I was thinking maybe he ripped it off. I want to say it's in China. There's a famous marquee.
It kind of actually looks like a screen grab. Like it's pixelated. Really? Yeah.
There's a famous marquee where you see the tiger sort of like lounging around and all of a sudden it jumps out of the screen and it literally looks like it's physically coming
out. Oh, like when the train came out the screen and everybody in the 1930s freaked out and ran out of the theater.
Yeah, but this looks really real.
Well, that train looks real. Those people were scared, Alan.
Sure.
That's, I think, best picture. The train coming at the audience. That's best picture for 1929 is train coming at the audience.
Groucho Marx with a mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No.
What's the bigger story? I think the U.S. economy overall is the bigger story.
Okay, economy.
I mean, Bitcoin is a big deal being an ETF.
Econ, no good. Not so
well, econ,
good. Not so
maybe good.
Good?
Meh.
Not so good, question mark. Meh would have made more sense, but I wrote other letters down. So.
Sure.
All right, we've got a few other news headlines I want you to read at me, please, friend.
Yes. All right, so...
As we were summarizing our notes and getting ready to go live, the president made a statement.
He did. So President Biden releases a statement on Houthi strikes. This is after the U.S. and this coalition of 20 other countries decided to attack some Houthi positions, saying they won't tolerate attacks on our personnel.
Earlier in the day, there was notifications about the U.S. and the U.K. meeting for briefings, likely covering this. And then
they took out a bunch of drones, I want to say, today as well.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday while we were recording, it was like a bunch of drones attacked American ships and commercial shipping vessels. And yeah, so
but they haven't stopped. It's been continuing. And so, even though the U.S. has been like, hey, knock it off with these.
Like there are consequences. Like, and they're like, yeah. They're like, there's consequences to these types of aggressive actions. And just to be clear, when we say aggressive actions, we mean what you're what happened tonight. Like,
when you're attacking commercial ships, that's where we draw the line.
And we're like, we're like, I've told you 7 times.
Right.
Like,
I'm not going to keep smacking your hand. This time I'm going
to. Well, to quote Greg from the group chat, who's going to be in Nashville soon. I'm looking forward to it. To quote Greg from the group chat, the Houthis elected to receive.
That's a good one. Greg.
Yeah, it is. Nice. I mean, look, of course
they,
I feel
they
bad.
Won the coin flip yes, and they said,
yeah, we'll receive. Yeah. You guys can have it in the second half. I don't mean to be so callous.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me isn't as concerned about what happens to the people that live in Yemen. Let me rephrase this. Part of me isn't as concerned about a huge loss of life in Yemen because, the Saudis have been fighting them since 2015 and like over 300,000 people have died. No, maybe it was 3 million. A lot. It might be 300,000. I think it was only 300,000. People died, mostly children. So like all the women and children and non-fighting age males, they're all dead, right? And because they had like cholera, like people were dying from disease, not just the bombings.
Yeah, it was a massive humanitarian
crisis. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I mean, what's left there? It's not like Gaza where it's all packed in together, Alan.
What was it about cynicism you were saying at the beginning of the show?
I don't remember. What did I say about cynicism?
The show is just the right amount of cynical.
Oh, I'm just reading notes. What did I say here? I said a healthy amount of cynicism for a healthy political mind. I shouldn't use healthy twice.
Yeah, I don't know if that particular thing was all that healthy, but yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of synonyms. Okay, I think I'm done, Alan. You want to talk?
Yeah, sure. Okay, we have a couple other headlines in other news. I didn't really get that far into this one.
Wait. On the last one, Biden's whole statement was, it was like the U.S., the U.K., probably Canada. Canada's like, we'll kill some civilians, yeah. Bahrain, the Netherlands, I think that was it. At least those countries were involved in this operation.
Yes, a number of countries. There's countries that would rather remain nameless.
Yeah.
They're also part of this coalition, so we don't know who they are.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty broad coalition. The people, I mean, Bahrain.
It's like when you have a girlfriend and she's like, yeah, but like, I don't want to be seen in public though, you know?
Wait, have you had one of those?
No, but I've heard about it in movies. Jesus, Alan. I'm fucking Dustin. You see me? Why would you fucking get
the That's why I was like shocked, bro. fucking Dustin.
Yeah.
All right. I can't believe it.
All right, your turn.
Isolate that shit.
All right.
Okay.
We know about the GOPs being broke.
Yeah, hydroxychloroquine could have caused 17,000 deaths during COVID, a study finds. This is a French study.
Wow, French.
The French. I mean, famously, Trump was like, hey, try it. What do you have to lose? Take it. So that's a big headline in this article. Researchers have estimated that some 16,990.
The French.
I found it.
In 6 countries, France, Belgium, Italy, Spain, Turkey, and the U.S. may have died as a result of taking the substance. Like I said, I didn't get too far into this, so I don't know how reliable this study is. I'm sure there's going to be a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't know if we said this back when we talked about this every fucking episode, but during the pandemic and during all the hysteria around that, it is kind of funny that like hydroxychloroquine is a company created by like a drug manufacturer, like a biotech company or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, like, don't take the vaccine by these companies. Take this other.
Yeah.
They're like, and the reason was because we don't know if the vaccines work against COVID effectively. And then it's like, yeah, but this one, we also, because it was a different thing.
It was just sort of like an alternative punk style mindset, I guess. They were
which
like,
I can appreciate. And we
don't trust big pharma, trust other big pharma.
I know. That was what I was saying there.
Totally.
Yeah. We always talked about how we understand that, you know. I didn't like people that just like called them R-worded for it.
Yeah. All right. You
I'm trying to find something. I don't remember. Oh, that's not what I want to do.
You have one more headline here. It's a pretty you have a big note on it.
Joe
Biden risks a major Middle East war if he makes the wrong choices. this is talking about potentially drawing Lebanon and Iran into this conflict as if they're not already part of it. But if the U.S. is involved in it as well, just a broader conflict in the Middle East is, I mean, we're almost on a knife's edge here, I would say. A lot of concerning escalations of late, and the Houthi situation isn't helping matters at all. So, of course, the U.S.'s refusal to do anything about Israel's actions in Gaza are just inflaming these tensions. So what we're doing in the U.N., et cetera, is also escalatory as well, I would say.
The quote from that stood out to me was, the problem is no one can rein in Biden. And if Biden has a policy, he's the commander in chief. We have to carry it out. That's what it comes down to. Very, very, very unfortunate. I'm going to read the first part in case you missed it by the time I got to the end. The problem is no one can rein in Biden. What fucking world is this? Like, for one, are they trying to, I mean, they're kind of making Biden look like the one thing he appears to not be, which is, you know, spineless or, you know.
Right. And also it's powerful. Very reminiscent of what some might have said about Trump during his administration.
I mean, it's definitely fits Trump's personality. It doesn't sound like, I'm not saying Biden is this big, open-minded, considerate person. I'm just saying you're making him sound like a force of nature. Like, this does not sound.
The man can barely ride a bicycle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't mean, we haven't seen him on a bike ever since, I don't think so.
He's not exactly
a, he can't be riding bikes anymore. I do want you to read this one really quick. Can you just read this one about Germany?
Okay. Ukraine updates. Scholz criticized for Taurus hesitation. What the hell? Former president Joachim Gauck.
Ah, that was it. That's who made the quest.
Criticized the German government's hesitation in delivering Taurus cruise missiles. I thought it was just a zodiac sign. Who knows?
Can I hear you say that person's name? Who is that person again?
Joachim Gauck.
Who is that?
He's a former president
of Germany.
Yes.
Can you say that name again?
I don't want to.
Does it sound like dick sucking noises?
It does. Oh God, I can't wait for next week's soundboard.
Okay, can you open up the headline right below it too? It's not a prank. I just wanted you to say it.
Okay.
It's not a prank though.
Wait, which?
This one.
Oh, okay. Opinion. It's time for, it's time for America to go back to Afghanistan. Who the fuck wrote this?
I don't know. Fucking Lindsey Graham, probably.
Miss Gannon is a
Canadian. This is written by
journalist.
The ghost of John McClane.
She's a Canadian. What the fuck does she say?
War crimes.
No offense, Toaster.
War crimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
All right. I think we're good there.
I think we're good.
Who wins the best of the other news, Alan?
Oh, best of other news. I mean, the chloroquine thing is interesting, but I think it's the escalation of stuff in the Middle East.
Yeah. Okay, Mideast.
Yeah.
Mideast escalator. Okay, so we've got in one corner Trump trials, immunity versus Israel on trial. Well, nothing was decided in the immunity hearing. I think Israel on trial.
Yeah,
that's a big fucking deal, man.
I guess. I was going to say it's not going to have any real effect, but it will have an effect on public opinion.
It is real, Alan.
See what you did there. Yeah, I'll take that.
All right. Airplane or climate hot?
Like I said earlier, I think the climate's the bigger deal. Okay. I mean, obviously, airplane's hot right now.
Alan doesn't have fear of flying. I don't know that I have fear of flying anymore. Eggnog.
I never have really.
Oh, it says eggnog. No, it says econ. Econ not so good. Econ meh or
econ meh.
Middle East. Okay, econ meh.
Sure.
Well, I've got three. There's three ones left. So
I'm just gonna pick it again. Best of three.
You want the climate to win?
Yeah, I think that's
right, climate hot winner. I just put a scribble down.
Winner, chicken.
All right, nobody gets chickens because we can't afford bird feed. Because the climate melted. That was
we can't afford
that was,
bird.
Whole, that was the whole thought. Look, man, I'm just flowing here. Okay, it's not always perfect.
I get it.
What's been in your media diet, buddy?
I've been out and about a lot since
bebopping and scatting around.
Yeah, but I have enjoyed more of Slow Horses, that show from Apple.
It's on Apple. I don't have that. You don't have Apple.
I have a.
Do you have Timcast?
I have a yes.
Timcast IRL.
I got a guy. I have a connection over there at Apple TV.
Yeah.
No, its show is really excellent.
Do you know there's a show called Timcast?
Oh.
That's yeah, Tim I'm aware Pool's of that. Podcast.
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Season 3 has been great so far. 1 and 2 are also great, but it feels like...
How big are the files? Can you email them at me?
Ooh, I can try.
There's it's more about big. Los Links.
Maybe I put in a Google Drive, yeah. Perhaps? That could work.
Yeah. Maybe don't. I don't need to be a part of this. I'm fine.
So it's only gotten better, I would say, as the seasons have progressed.
It's espionage, right? Yeah. British espionage, yeah, it's, but it's about like people being frustrated with layers of bureaucracy too, right?
Yeah, it's really about like this group of spies, etc., essentially people that work for the intelligence agency in the UK who are sort of sidelined because of whatever political things they did wrong and pissed somebody off, you know, above them. And so they get sent to this place, sort of like, you know, the riffraff, essentially.
Oh.
But they still find themselves involved in really important storylines. So
that's cool.
I think it's very good. Yeah. Very, very good. What else? I'm excited to see the Children of the Flower Moon. Is that what
yeah,
it is?
Yeah, I just don't have time for it, man. Like, I want to see it so bad. I want to see it so bad. It's not that bad.
And, yeah, I'm probably going to watch it tomorrow.
I don't feel like I want to stop in the middle of it.
It's 3 hours and something long, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes with Scorsese movies, you don't really notice.
Isn't Scorsese literally in the final scene? Oh, you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen
it. I've heard he is. I've heard he's like the last thing on the camera.
I don't mind that.
It's like, in that cinema.
Tim says it's a really impressive movie.
Yeah. But I know the story, and I can't imagine why you would need that long to tell it.
Yeah. Well, I'll see. I'll let you know.
Okay, fine. All right.
What about you?
I watched a lot of stuff. We didn't go out this weekend. So I watched a movie on Amazon Prime called Foe. There's
F-A-U-X?
F-O-E. Gosh, you're so obsessed with these Guy Fox spellings. Foe, like friend or foe.
Got it. Okay.
So there, it centers around, there's this couple that lives, I think they do say the location, but they live on a farmhouse in a rural part of America after we've had severe climate affected future. So crops are struggling. You can kind of think of Interstellar at the beginning, but even more isolated. And there's a lot of people that are on like an off planet project. But obviously like they don't have
Elon Musk and
yeah, sort of, I suppose. Okay. Somebody, this is not spoiling anything. So somebody arrives at their door and there's sort of a proposal, for them. I wouldn't say it rises quite to the level of a mind fuck, but
Well, they offered a deal they couldn't refuse. Is that what happens?
There creates tension in their relationship because of the offer. But it even starts off with the relationship being, like, very beginning of the movie is the woman sort of saying the ways that their relationship isn't good. And so, yeah, I don't want to spoil the movie.
Is it good?
It's good. Yeah, I'd say 4 out of 5. Like, it's really good. There is a big, like, explanation of everything that's happening towards the end. I don't want to say it's a reveal or a twist or anything like that. But there is like a prestige moment, to use the language of the Prestige, the movie, the Christopher Nolan movie Prestige, Alan.
Yes. About magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I recommend it. It's about Nikola Tesla. The Prestige was about Nikola Tesla.
Oh, right.
Foe is really good. It's on Amazon Prime. I can tell you a movie that's not that good, man. So in the way that like action comedies are kind of like fun, action adventure comedies.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's fine. I would just wait for it to be free. It's a movie called Freelance. It used to be like $20. I'm like, I don't want to watch it that much, but it was $4.99. I was like, fine. It's cheaper than a night out. It's about John Cena being like an operative and then a merc and how that goes south. And it's fun.
Oh, because he wasn't really invisible.
I will say there's a point where I kind of think the message of the movie is that the dictator turned out to be the good guy because he was a populist. And I just found that really weird. I'm fine spoiling this movie.
All right.
It's like, is that the message?
1 out of 5.
I give this next movie, very artistically or suspenseful. It's a foreign film called The Society of the Snow. I don't remember where you watched this. You might have to rent it, but it might have been on Hulu or Netflix. If you have to pay for it, I recommend it. It's worth it. Okay. So Society of the Snow. Do you know the Uruguayan rugby team that crashed in the Andes?
Yeah.
They did that movie called Alive about it. Mm-hmm. It's how they like resorted
to cannibals.
There's one thing you know about it is that they resorted to cannibalism, right?
Yeah.
So it's about that. Oh boy, man. You talk about a bad week for me watching airline disasters. This movie was, dude, the plane crash scene, it's in the trailer. It's no spoiler about the plane crash scene. The movie's not about the plane crash. The movie is about survival. They were up there for 75 days, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy.
The amount of hope and different moments where it's like this, if we get to this, it's all going to work out, that fails. And then the resilientness to overcome that, because it was just one thing after another, avalanches, just false hope about, you know, getting to a place where, I mean, you're in the middle of the fucking Andes, getting out of there. It's like unthinkable.
Yeah. Well, I remember Alive was very much like about, you know, the transcendence of the human spirit.
Yeah.
What one could overcome. Although there was the whole cannibal thing.
I would say that this does deal with that. You do get that from it, but it is more personal, I think. Like it was very personal with the characters. I would recommend, it comes out dubbed. Switch it to Spanish with English subtitles, and it's great. Not because I'm like, I want to know what the people sound like. The Foley work on the dubbed one, because like you can't just pull the language out of the audio. You got to take the Spanish language out, which means you've got to get rid of all the audio. So all the Foley work they did to make the background noises sound appropriate to the Spanish language, they don't give a fuck when they do that with the dubbed version.
The dub translation.
Yeah. So it was just like trunks sounding like,
that sucks. You'd think a movie studio would
be able to pull that off. Yeah. Well, it's fine. We just watched it in Spanish. It's fine. The Spanish is fun too, because you're like, this is a little bit different than Mexican Spanish. Like, I don't
know. Maybe it feels more romantic.
Just more romantic, Alan. You're right. You nailed it. Yeah. There's
light a candle.
Some great love scenes in this movie.
Pour some red wine.
Society of the Snow. I'm not going to give a review because we're getting long on this. There's a movie I want you to watch. It's free on Amazon. It came out last year. It's called Landscape and the Invisible Hand.
Okay. Four Seasons Landscape?
Yes. Kind of landscape? Four Seasons Total Landscape, Alan.
Right.
That's the part he overlooked when he scheduled the presidential meeting there. It's like, I wanted Four Seasons Landscape. This is Four Seasons total Landscape. This is a total... Yeah, they're just trying to rip off the other guy's good name.
Why do you sound like you're doing, I think you should leave it?
Because he's gotten to my head. Why are you?
Yeah.
Okay, Alan. Shit. Fuck. You know, I self-censor enough. I don't need to know, think that you're doing this. I thought this was a safe space. God, stifling my creativity. It's fine. I don't mean it.
None taken.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Landscape and the Invisible Hand. It exists in an occupied Earth, occupied by an alien force. And they kind of have like, this is in the description, like not even in the trailer. If like you read the summary, the aliens kind of have a fascination with human. They sort of fetishize or like, you know what, the way that like a colonial power will sort of subjugate and treat an inferior race and be like, look at these.
Wait, there are. The way that
like the British would be like, look at these cute little native tribes and all these customs they have. And they sort of like fetishizes that, right? The aliens do that to humans about like our emotional customs. And one of their favorite things is to subscribe to streaming sites of Americans live streaming their courting process. And like what they love the idea of human love. And so they have these things that you put onto your forehead that like you like live sync into the alien metaverse, basically. But you can also, instead of streaming, you can broadcast. So they set it to broadcast and then they make money with their courtship. That's the beginning of the movie. I'm going to stop it there. That's all they tell you in the trailer. It goes way more than that. I think it's really good, but I'm more interested in hear what you think about it before I do a real review on it. So.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Sounds like a very interesting sort of concept. Sci-fi angle.
Yeah.
I don't think I've encountered a story that sounds
it's really well done. The characters are fantastic. And James Gandolfini's son's in it.
Oh.
He's like a secondary character. Yeah, it's called Landscape and the Invisible Hand. Okay. Alan?
Yes.
I have a game for you.
All right.
I think let's only do this game once because it was harder than I thought, even as cynical as I am. It wasn't that easy. So I'm going to give you three quotes. Two of them will either be, you have to find, in the three quotes, you have to find the Trump quote.
Okay. So there's one Trump quote.
And two Putins.
One Trump, two Putins. Got
one
it.
Trump, two Putins. Do you want to read it out loud? Is that better for you? Because I can copy them. Sure. Okay, I'll copy them into the sheet. Here we go. Where are we at? Right here where it says Putin or Trump. Control V. Okay, ready, Alan? Go ahead and read that.
We certainly would not want to have the same kind of democracy as they have in Iraq. I can tell you quite honestly. Okay.
All right.
All right.
And copy. Here you go, Alan.
Ooh, it was a long one. The basic principles of democracy should be observed, whatever the country. Principles such as civil liberties, a free market, a free press, the priority of the individual over mythical state interests. This is definitely not Putin. A state which serves the interests of ordinary people and defends their rights and interests. This is all easy to say, but hard to make reality. I can't imagine Trump saying that either, but okay.
I put you in a bit of a pickle here, haven't I?
It's a bit of a pickle, yes.
Yeah. To be fair, you don't really know what Putin's words are when you hear him talking.
Sure,
you're like, I just can't imagine that with the cadence. This is different, you know? All right, here's one.
It shows the rottenness of the American political system, which cannot pretend to teach others about democracy. Oof.
All right, do you want to read the first one again?
We certainly would not want to have the same kind of democracy as they have in Iraq. I can tell you quite honestly.
I think you've read the second one. It's long enough. You're good. I mean, if you want to read it, you can. And the last one.
No. It shows the rottenness of the American political system, which cannot pretend to teach others about democracy.
It's a tough one.
This is a tough game. I'm actually going to say that Trump is the last one.
Okay, you get points.
Nice. Just because he was always critical of... of America like
this
that.
This is a tricky one. I've pulled a fast one on you.
They're all Trump.
They're all Putin.
Oh, they're all...
Trump said the last one, quoting Putin at a rally, which would have been the headline of that rally, except this was a month ago at the rally where he said, immigrants are poisoning the blood of our nation.
Oh, that certainly was the
one. So when you quote Hitler quoting Putin, not so bad. We found the scale. Would you just stay? Yeah, if you could stay up to quoting Putin, because nobody can tell if you're quoting Putin. They might think it's Trump, right, Alan? That's what we learned. All right. Well,
that was a great game.
This is an educational podcast. Next time they strip us off YouTube, we'll be like, listen to the last few minutes of episode 330. I think you'll find we're quite educational.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Have fun out there with MBD.
Yeah, man.
All right.
That was fun. Cheers. Everybody. Have a good weekend.
Yeah. See you guys next week on Not Taken.
When a guy's banging you.
Y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady.
Cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.